All right, this is a very exciting day for the Cleveland Browns organization, for our players, and for the unbelievable fans we have throughout northeastern Ohio, Cleveland, and really the entire country. Mike Pettine is a product of a football family. His father is a legendary coach in Pennsylvania. His record was 326-32-4. I think the most important statistic is five of those 326 wins came against his son, and none of the 32 losses came against his son. He was 5-0 against his son. Mike is a graduate of the University of Virginia, played football there, was a two-year letterman, graduated with a degree in economics, began his pro career in 2002 with the Baltimore Ravens, then moved on to the New York Jets, and this past year was defensive coordinator at the Buffalo Bills. Mike brings exactly what we think we need for our organization. He's smart. He's innovative. He's demanding. He's tough. He brings what we consider to be a blue-collar work ethic to the Cleveland Browns organization. I think he will be a perfect fit for our team and our fans. I think we'll make very good progress under Mike's leadership. And once again, I can't tell you how excited we are to have Mike be the 15th head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Joe is going to make a couple of remarks and introduce Mike, and then you all have a chance to listen to Mike, and Mike will then do a Q&A. Joe Banner.
Welcome. Thanks, everybody. I don't know if you had a chance to meet Mike, but since Mike Lombardi and I were Mo and Larry, we set out to find Curly, and we succeeded, so... That's why it took so long. There aren't a lot of Curlys running around the country. So, more seriously, this is a really exciting day. I know we were exhaustive to the point that we caused people to question and wonder, but we think that was the right way to do it. It's a very, very important decision to make sure we met as many people as we possibly could, spent as much time as we could with Mike, who we had the chance to interview three different times, and spend quite a bit of time with. In our minds, maximizing the chances that he knew us, we knew him, everybody had a good understanding of the vision, was very, very important. I think Jimmy said it well. We're very attracted by his intelligence, his aggressiveness, his toughness, and the type of discipline I think he's going to bring to the team. I think we're very conscious of where the team is at now, its evolution, its strengths and weaknesses, its character, and we think he's an outstanding fit. So with great excitement, I welcome to the Cleveland Browns as their 15th coach, Mike Pettine.
Thank Mr. Haslam, Joe Banner, Michael Lombardi, Alex Shiner. They were a big part of the interview process. Looking back on my year with the Bills, it's a bittersweet thing for me to leave there. I had such a tremendous year there with that organization, led by Ralph Wilson, Russ Brandon, Doug Whaley, and then I especially want to thank Doug Marrone. He opened my eyes to a lot of things about this league. He helped me greatly through the interview process, and I just learned so much football, just the and probably more importantly the non-football stuff from Doug. He was tremendous for me. Going back beyond that, I don't think I'd be standing here if I didn't have the unique partnership that I had with Rex Ryan. But for any of you that are expecting me to be like him personality-wise, you'll be mistaken. We were. Pretty much opposites of each other. I'm not going to be predicting Super Bowls or meeting presidents or wins and losses. I won't be writing on anybody's Winnebago about Super Bowl or bust. But again, I think he and I were for many years the perfect complement to each other. that I kept him on the straight and narrow with a lot of things and kept him organized, and he helped me open my mind to a lot of the creative aspects of defensive football. I'd also like to thank John Harbaugh, who I spent a year under in Baltimore, an outstanding leader and is a role model for coaches around this league, and also to Brian Billick, who I worked for as well. But I think the biggest reason I'm here, my biggest influence was already mentioned, was my dad. And yes, I was 0-5 against him, and that was unfortunate. But again, I've worked for some great coaches, played for some great coaches, but I think all my roots, all my foundation still goes back to my dad. That he was a guy that, to me, just understood football from A to Z. He wasn't an offensive specialist, a defensive specialist. That he was just pure football through and through. So playing for him was a rough experience. I really wanted to get away from football after I was done playing for him. But after a while, ended up circling back and just fell in love with the game. I mean, that's what I'm just most passionate about. And it's something that, again, he gave me the advice that I think a lot of good parents give, is that if find a job that you love and you never work a day in your life. And I've been fortunate to pair my passion with my profession. My vision here in Cleveland, having spent time in Baltimore, to compete in the AFC North, that you have to be willing to bloody your nose a little bit, and I think that's the mentality that we're going to take here. That this team is going to be built on toughness. And most people think of toughness in just the physical sense. I think as important or more important is the mental toughness, is the ability to think through things when they aren't going well, to hang tough when things go bad, that the heads don't drop and it's same old Browns and teams talk themselves into losing. Okay, that to me is the culture that needs to be changed here. So again, we're gonna build a team that's not just physically tough but obviously mentally. We're gonna set high standards for our players. That they're going to be graded hard on every snap, whether it's a snap in practice or a snap in the game. They'll be graded and graded hard. The standards will be high, and we're going to hold those players accountable. Just looking from a scheme standpoint, I'm not one to speak on what we're going to be running, because again, that's going to be based on an evaluation of the roster. I've always been of the mindset that you never fit your players to your system. You fit your system to your players. So again, once we hit the ground running and get the staff hired, the first task will be to evaluate the roster from top to bottom, and see what we have here, what we do well, and maybe what holes we need to fill. But I'm so excited to be here. Just again, admiring from afar the fan base here. I think through all the tough times here, the fans here have remained loyal, and they're among the most passionate in the league. Like to open it up for questions.
Yeah, please wait for the microphone and go ahead and identify yourself.
Welcome. Mike, your predecessor here was only here for one season. Is that at all unnerving? And are you confident that you're going to have the time to get this thing turned around?
It's not unnerving, and again, I don't feel real qualified to speak on that because I wasn't here. I don't know the circumstances. I only know the circumstances that were put in front of me. And that's a leadership group that's committed to winning. And then when you look at the attractive parts of the job, it was a young roster, plenty of cap space, a deep draft, plenty of picks. So again, I that did not factor in for me at all. Again, I'll always take that's sometimes the cockiness of a coach, but I'll bet on myself. And again, I didn't want to get involved and back away from a job because of lack of perceived security.
Hey Mike, it's Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Can you just talk about the importance of, since you're a defensive coach, finding the right offensive coordinator, especially considering that you guys might end up with a new quarterback this year possibly, and do you have guys in mind already? Do you know who your guy is?
I do have guys in mind. Won't speak on it this time, but it's the staff is a work in progress, and that is the critical part. I do feel comfortable about where we will be defensively, given my background. But I also, being a former quarterback, I have some thoughts on offense myself. I'm not going to run it, but at the same time, I think I can apply my defensive knowledge to offensive football, and I think I can help whatever coordinator we bring in be successful here.
Tom Reed from the Cleveland.com and also the Plain Dealer. A lot of time with first-time head coaches, they're not used to either dealing with the media or being in the spotlight very much. I'm wondering with you, because you've kind of almost kind of grown up in the spotlight with some of the ESPN shows and some of the stuff with Hard Knocks, do you feel comfortable, and has that helped you at all kind of preparing for this?
I do not feel comfortable at all. And the sooner I can get off the stage and out of this suit and working on getting this team headed in the right direction, the better. But I have fortunately over my career, fortunately or unfortunately, been involved in some of those things. And I think that would be accurate to say that. And again, just some of the places I've been where they've given us the opportunity to be in front of the media, that's been helpful.
Hey, Mike. Scott Petra, The Chronicle-Telegram. Were you surprised to get a call from the Browns, and did you always expect to wind up as a head coach?
Was not surprised, but those expectations were there at some point. It was a goal of mine, for sure, a career goal. I know some guys that only want to progress to be a position coach or coordinate. I got the taste of being a head coach when I was a head coach in high school. But again, it was nothing that I actively pursued. I always, and when I've talked to young coaches or when I see guys heading down the wrong path, I've always talked in terms of don't look for a better job, do a better job. And I always felt that if I put my head down and worked hard, that the better opportunities find you on their own.
Hey, Mike, Jeff Chudal from the News Herald. Do you believe you are the first choice of Jimmy and Joe?
Again, that to me is not an issue. I know that's come up before, and much has been made of the number of candidates that have been interviewed. That doesn't factor into my thinking at all. I wasn't going to be like, well, if I'm not the first choice, then I'm not going to take it. It's been my lifelong dream to be an NFL head coach, and however that opportunity presents itself is fine with me.
Hey, Mike. Tony Grossi from ESPN Cleveland. Just curious, how much conversation is there in your three visits with the Browns over your next quarterback? They're in a position, we're all thinking quarterback, it's a quarterback-centric town. How much is that actually discussed in your job interview?
It definitely came up, and as we all know, that as far as when you prioritize the positions in the National Football League, there's the quarterback, and then there's about 10 open spots, and then you start talking about the next position, so... would be foolish, to even being a defensive guy, to ignore that issue. I'm not going to be that defensive coach that says, listen, we're going to win it on defense and we're going to run and we don't need to have a great quarterback. To win in this league, you have to have a great quarterback. And that's something that we're going to put our full focus and attention on.
I know you face the Browns this year. What do you know about the roster? What do you think about the roster?
There's talent, and that's evidenced by the number of Browns that are over in Hawaii as we speak. So again, it will be a big job for our staff to evaluate that roster. But the nice thing about it is there's some definite talent here, young talent here, and we also have the ability to keep that talent here. And that to me is one of the things that was most attractive about the job.
Gentlemen from ESPN.com, does your contract give you final say in roster decisions?
Again, those details are being worked out. So again, that's not something I'm really qualified to speak on at this point.
Hey, Mike, Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. Congratulations. My question is about perception with this job. NFL Network labeled it as radioactive. Jimmy Haslam's main business is obviously under federal investigation. To what extent did you weigh those things, and what ultimately made you make this leap of faith despite those things?
Again, just confidence in the information that I gathered of how committed this franchise is to winning. And again, the confidence in myself. And again, falling back to betting on me. There's only 32 of these jobs in the world, and these opportunities don't come along often. People ask me, why didn't you wait? and that you know, there'll be chances next year. I don't know if I believe in that. And again, I looked at this situation as when you put all the factors together, that this franchise is in position, given the right leadership, to win.
Hey, Mike, Tom Withers again. What's the best football lesson or life lesson you learned from your dad?
It would have to be only worry about things that you have control over. And again, that's unfortunately, I haven't followed that advice at a certain point in my career. But when I was a junior, there was a teacher strike. I was his quarterback, and we didn't have any preseason practice. And I was the starter, and there was some people that didn't think I should be the starter. They thought it was pure nepotism, and that I was only out there because of him. And there was a petition being circulated that I wasn't the starter. And to me, that was a lot for a teenage kid to handle, and it bothered me. And it really started to affect me on the field, and that's when he grabbed me and said, hey, listen, you have no control over that. So don't waste another second thinking about it or stressing about it. The things that you have control over, focus on them and be full speed ahead.
Coach, John Kosick from the ABC Channel 5 here in Cleveland. When you left North Penn 12 years ago, you took a gamble. Did you envision this as that end goal? Did you see this as the possibility that day? And you took that job that cut your pay so much and put your family in a position.
I wanted to get in a position where I was doing football full time, and again, just wanted to work hard. I coached especially early on with a bit of a chip on my shoulder. Whether it was real or not, in my mind, I was thinking that people saw me as just a high school coach. Here's a guy trying to make it in the NFL, but he's just a high school coach. And that drove me. And again, that might not have been the case at all, but that's that in the back of my mind, I used that. But I never had a timetable for this. It was, just work hard. And when that gets recognized, you get promoted. And I've been fortunate enough to have things fall into place and the planets get lined up and be standing here today.
Hey, Mike, are you going to wipe the slate clean with the coaches from Chud's staff, or do some of them have a chance of being retained?
That's something that will be discussed, but I can say now that there's a high likelihood that we will retain some coaches.
The Journal. I just wanted to ask one more thing about that risk you took back then. It sounds like you did some pretty menial things in that first year with the Ravens. Did you ever have second thoughts about, or how bad was it in that those duties?
Not for a second. I loved it. I loved everything. I love all things football, and the fact that I was in the building, that was able to be close to it, and then even later on at night where I was able to pick up and do some of the quality control stuff, I pinched myself every day.
I'm Mike, Terry Pluto from the Plain Dealer. They've been through so many fans have been through so many coaches here. I think it's seven since the team came back, and you know, all the losing and so on. How do you say, okay, it's going to be different with me? Why is it going to be different with you?
Because I have belief in I'll have belief in the staff that we're going to build, belief in the players, and I have a belief in the system that will be run here. That again, the standards will be high, players will be held accountable. And that formula has been applied other places, and it's been successful.
Coach, Mark Schwab from 19 Action News. How quick can you turn this around? There are one-year turnarounds a lot in this league. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer.
Again, that's I think, impossible to predict. We're going to build a team that is going to be capable of winning every game where we step on the field. We're going to have confidence that we can win every game, and we're going to build a plan to win every game. But that's, again, how the numbers fall out, or where the results are, I really can't speak to that.
Coach Dave Nethers with WJW-TV here. Fans are going to weigh your choice against statements that were made by Jimmy Haslam when this search began, when he said, among other things, that they were looking for a strong winner who knows how to win football games. You're coming in as an assistant, head assistant coach, just as Chud came in as an assistant coach. Fans are going to be skeptical. They don't believe that you were the first choice. How can you make them comfortable that they have fulfilled their desire to find a strong winner here?
I don't think anything I can say or do today, or for that matter, up until the beginning of September, I think will matter. I think that this is a bottom-line business, and it's all about winning. So, again, I'm not into winning press conferences, and you know, I just want the Cleveland fans to know that we're gonna put a team out on the field that they can be proud of. But, again, I don't want to win press conferences, and it's going to come down to the fall and winning football games.
Coach, there's a report out there that Jim O'Neill will be brought here as your defensive coordinator. Is that true?
Jim's currently under contract with the Buffalo Bills, so that's something that I really can't speak on at this time.
Coach Darrell Ryder, 92.3 The Fan, welcome to town. In your three meetings with the Browns front office, how has your perception of the franchise changed? Obviously, there has been a lot of negativity surrounding the search, the team, but from your personal experience over the last week, what has changed about your perception with the team?
Again, one of the things that was so attractive for me was when I sat in those meetings, how upbeat they were, the energy, how much passion there was, especially from Mr. Haslam, about wanting to win. And again, like I just mentioned, this is a bottom line business, and I think a lot of the pieces are in place here to do that. I've been waiting for this question. We had a very long father-daughter chat after that one. She learned a very valuable lesson in the power of social media. And again, let's not forget where she came from. She grew up, her formative years were spent in Baltimore, where she was trained to not be a Browns fan. So I hope we can give her a little leniency that way. But she was mortified, called me hysterically crying when after it happened. The thing that I think she's more upset about is the fact that the team colors don't really match what a 19-year-old wants to wear. My 12-year-old daughter has already expressed that as well. Brown and orange, they weren't real happy about that. But getting back to my daughter, we have a very special relationship. She sent me a text this morning that I think would have made most fathers cry. So, again, that she learned a lesson, but it was a very valuable one.